The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It is a good Monday. Thanks for being with us. We have a busy week in front because it is NFL draft week. We're actually going to be with you on Friday. The Iron Man said, I'm in. Jared Nielsen, chairman of the board. I'm in, of course, because it is the day after the NFL draft. Usually we run the television show on Fridays on the stream. But this week, because of the draft, we will be with you on Friday. Today, because there's just a lot going on. But I thought the most interesting story over the weekend, and this was not easy. This was not easy at all. I was chatting with Senior Executive Vice President of Nothing, Steve Burney, about what to do on the show yesterday. And by last night, I had said no, 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 no. And he's whining about it. And so late last night, I'm like, you know what? I want to talk to the kid that caught the ball. You guys all saw it, right? The kid that caught the foul ball from Cole Calhoun Friday night in Atlanta. I wanted that kid. It's because Steve is really good at what he does. He found him. And we're going to have Cordell McLaren with us, 13-year-old Cordell McLaren, at 10:35. He's actually in school today. And so I want to have Cordell on to talk about how his life changed in that moment of catching the ball, what Cole said to him and all that stuff. So 13-year-old Cordell McLaren will be with us on today's show. Opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. Kind of torn today because I didn't expect the Diamondbacks to be at 11-11. I didn't expect the Dodgers-Padres to be so entertaining. Like, I'm watching the Oscars last night, and they completely sanitized and pushed it down to the ground. And you can make that argument. It's fine. And I'm going back and forth with the Padres-Dodgers game. And yesterday, I'm out doing my thing, and I've got my earbuds in, and I'm listening to Mike Farron and Tom Candiotti do the Diamondbacks game against Atlanta. And they were funny yesterday. They got caught up in this discussion about SpongeBob that I didn't know that Tom Candiotti had a thing about SpongeBob, and Mike would not let it go. It was very funny. And so there's that. And then in the middle of the day, I watched the Suns and the Knicks. In short, I did a whole lot of sports yesterday, which is fine. And the Suns look like a team that I was afraid that they would look like. Now, they didn't have Jay Crowder yesterday, and Blake Griffin was being a bully yesterday, and DeAndre Ayton lost his cool yesterday, and you can't have that happen. And so between those and then the NFL draft, like, Peter did his mock draft today, Peter King, who's with us most every week. And he did his NFL draft today, and he has the Cardinals. I'll tell you who he has the Cardinals looking at a little bit later in about 8 minutes. It's called a tease. And then it comes out that Julio Jones may be available in a trade and all this stuff. So, and there's all sorts of things going on, but I think I am most fascinated by the baseball team today. I am. Because when is a no-hitter a no-hitter? In case you missed it. So the Diamondbacks game on Saturday was rained out. Let's go back to Friday. Friday night, this kid makes a catch in foul territory, and he gets fist bumped by Cole Calhoun. And in the grand scheme of things, it's not Luis Gonzalez getting a base hit against Mariano Rivera. But for a sport that needs to show some levity at times, that needs to show that, and they've got tremendous young stars. I'm sitting here bashing on baseball. I'm not doing that. There's a lot of conversation about the new collective bargaining agreement, how there's going to be a lockout next year. It's just negative after negative after negative. And so for Friday night to have a kid catch a foul ball and fist bump, and just how the kid has handled all of it, how Cole Calhoun of the Diamondbacks handled it, it's a pretty significant moment if you think about where the sport is today. They can take that piece of video, they being the Diamondbacks, they being Major League Baseball, and show, you know, here's who we are. You can't script that. You can try as hard as you want. Cannot script that. And so that's why I'm putting a 13-year-old on today, because it's really cool. So Sunday, yesterday, I'm listening to the first game, and Zach Gallen's just blowing everybody away, and he spins a one-hitter. Major League Baseball put in place this year a rule. They put in place a rule that if a game happens to be postponed and there's a doubleheader, then the doubleheader has to be seven-inning games to make it official. Official game. They don't want to tax on the players, bullpen, all that stuff, okay? Whether I like that rule or don't like the rule, that is the rule. And so Madison Bumgarner goes out yesterday and he throws a no-hitter in seven innings. But baseball says, nope, it's not a no-hitter. Guys, I don't know why it is that you guys try to turn this into brain surgery. If you, by chance, are consuming this and you are considered, you consider yourself to be someone who is a fan of the game and this is how it has been and this is how it's always going to be, and you are one of those that is old school, then you're just not going to have any part of my argument on this. But I believe that if the rules are in place, that it's a seven-inning game, so on those days there's just no no-hitter, this is the rule that you put in place. Yeah, no, we're not going to do that because it didn't go nine innings. I love Mad Bum's reaction. And yes, I have been one of those that has said, what are they going to do with this guy? Because he was not good the first three, 4 weeks of the season. He wasn't. And to Torrey Lovello's credit, he said, you know, I see some things. I'm encouraged by some things. And all I'm seeing is an earned run average north of 11. And what has happened here in the last couple of starts? He's found his rhythm. He's found his groove. Mad Bum yesterday said, I want to thank the shadows around Atlanta. So, you know, he had the advantage, but that's beside the point. Liked his self-effacing humor about all of it. Baseball should honor this as a no-hitter because that is the rule that is in place for that game. You want to put an asterisk by it? Knock yourself out. If you're one of those that's a purist, oh, that's just not a no-hitter. Guys, baseball already put this in place. You're not going to have as many at-bats yesterday for a player. Is that going to impact him overall through the course of the season? Well, look, he played in 162 games, but 158 of those were nine-inning games. But four of them only went seven innings. Thus, well, the numbers don't jibe, and this is bad for baseball. Because there is that group out there that is all about, well, the sanctity of the game, the purity of the game. It's a no-hitter. That's the rule that was in place for the games yesterday. I don't see how this is that hard. And there's a couple other things here. I wrote down some notes on this. So in 1991 is when this rule was put in place. Okay, long time ago, 30 years ago, games changed. Can rules be changed? Sure. That is why they said, okay, we're going to have seven-inning games on days of doubleheaders. So change this rule and say, you know, after further review, this is a no-hitter. We're going to send the cleats to the Hall of Fame, and it's going to go to Cooperstown and all that stuff. And the Diamondbacks are going to say, we had a no-hitter. And you want to stick an asterisk by it so the purists can be fine. Knock yourself out. The other part of this is Zach Gallen yesterday. So Zach Gallen was injured to start the season. And there was a lot of concern about the injury with Zach Gallen. Zach Gallen yesterday goes out and spins a one-hitter. Are we going to put an asterisk by that? It was a one-hitter over seven innings. Dude, it's a complete game in a seven-inning game. So between Gallen and Mad Bum, this actually happened yesterday. The last time you had two complete game shutouts in a doubleheader was 1977. Don Ossie was throwing. I'll throw a name at you. There's Don Ossie. If you're a Red Sox fan or an Angel fan, you remember Don Ossie. 1977. And add to that, it was a winning road trip for the hometown nine. And add to that, they're at 11-11. May not seem like much, but to me, the way that things were looking and you go on a long road trip, you end up in some spaces and some places where it could have really gotten sideways. Washington, Cincinnati, and Atlanta. You caught a break with Strasburg. There's just some things that you look at and say, okay, they got a little bit of luck on their side. If you're Ken Kendrick, your manager is 11-11. Ken, I'm asking. Derek, I'm asking. When is the time going to be of, you know, we've seen enough and we should probably sit and have an extension given to Torrey? Is it too early? Sure it is. It's 22 games in. But see where we're at Memorial Day. This is not a bad start for this team. And the Padres are coming to town tomorrow. two-game series. I don't know about you. I can't remember the last time Dodgers-Padres was so fascinating. This is a kid that grew up in San Diego and saw the rivalry. It was no rivalry. The Dodgers didn't care. The Dodgers' rival was the Giants. It was. And now with Tatis and Machado and the bravado and all of that, it's fun watching Padres-Dodgers. It was must-see TV for me this weekend. It really was. It was fun. So the Padres are here tomorrow night. Tatis has hit 5 home runs in his last, 6 games? He also has a boatload of errors. I think Jordan Hamm is catching up with John Quintero, the coach, for his weekly podcast around the Diamondbacks. You will want to check that out on the website at sports360az.com. So this is a big week ahead, and I think a good run there for the team. On the Suns side, actually, I'm going to take a break. No, you know what? I'm not going to take a break. Jared, I'm just going to keep going here. And then I'll take a break for the NFL draft. And then we'll get to Cordell McLaren. On the Suns side, they play the Knicks tonight. It used to be the Knicks would stink. But the Knicks, tonight's game is really the coach of the year battle, in my opinion. Tom Thibodeau has done a terrific job. The Knicks are playing great basketball. They are streaking. They are playing very, very well. Julius Randle's been terrific. The Knicks are just on fire. The Suns yesterday looked like a team. Okay, and I know it's been a long East Coast swing. I get it. But they had a couple days off. So I don't want to hear about the back-to-back. No, you're off Friday, you're off Saturday. Middle of the day, time and all that, body clock. All those things that you hear about when a team loses, don't want to hear it. What I saw yesterday was Kevin Durant went crazy. Didn't even start. Only played 28 minutes and he had 33. The Suns had no answer for him. And most teams don't. They didn't have James Harden yesterday. Kyrie Irving was ready to go, ready to play from the get-go. I thought that Ayton just lost his composure. There was some problems defensively and switching with defense. It wasn't pretty to watch. They gave up 128 points. And then Brooklyn just shot lights out. You got to give them credit. I thought Blake Griffin bullied out on the floor and the Suns didn't respond. If Crowder's out there, is that 10 points, 9 points different? Maybe. They just didn't look like they wanted to get a bloody nose yesterday. It looked like Brooklyn was, you know what, we're going to throw some grit at you. And yeah, we're going to just keep going at you and at you. It's not the end of the world, but it was a litmus test. Tonight's a litmus test. Okay, it's a back-to-back. You're going to have those. And you have the Knicks, red hot. Looking forward to Suns, Knicks tonight. That's what sports is all about. All right, NFL draft on the other side, and then we'll catch up with 13-year-old Cordell McLaren, the kid that caught the foul ball away from Cole Calhoun. He's going to zoom in from his classroom in Tennessee. That comes up a little bit later. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, so the NFL draft is on Thursday. Friday, we'll get together and have a special show and celebrate or rip, depending on how we see fit, around what the Cardinals are going to do. The first pick will be Trevor Lawrence. It's not a question about that. Zach Wilson will be the second pick by the Jets. The third pick could well be Mac Jones. Could well be that they trade out of that spot. Could well be there's just a lot of smoke because it's John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, so it could be Trey Lance. Then you get to Atlanta at number 4. This is where I'd like to see the Cardinals try and trade up and go after Kyle Pitts, the tight end of Florida, but it may cost you 2 number 1s. Number 5, you're going to have Ja'Marr Chase at Cincinnati. Beyond that, I don't know. And I think in Cincinnati's case, you could get Penei Sewell, the best tackle from Oregon. Your hometown heroes are sitting there at 16. I know this about the Cardinals, that they have put so much into their wide receivers. They put so much. Think about it. The last 3 years, the Cardinals have used 2 second-round picks. They did the DeAndre Hopkins trade. They paid a boatload of money to A.J. Green. Well, I shouldn't say boatload. They gave money off the cap to A.J. Green. So they've done all this in the last few years. So really, if you take another wide receiver, what is the point here? And I think if we look at the Cardinals objectively, you know, there's a little bit around the organization that wants to do the PR side, and you can't always do PR. You can't. You know, when they flat whiffed on Josh Rosen, there's a lot of PR around that. I would make the argument that this is year 3 for Kyler Murray and that you've got to see something more than what we've seen. He's been good. He's been good. But this team hasn't made the playoffs in 5 years. That's all I want. Just get me to the playoffs, okay? 5 years. And so in the secondary, are there holes there? Sure there are. If you bring Kyle Pitts in, as I'm suggesting, I'm doing it because I'm saying, you know what? Nobody will be able to stop this offense. When you see what the Kansas City Chiefs do with their offense and how much of it involves the tight end, how the tight end has become a crucial role, and you have a once-in-a-generation player, if I'm to believe every last scout, the Kuipers, all those guys, okay? If I'm to believe them, then Kyle Pitts is the best player in this draft who is not a quarterback. When I hear general managers say things like, we want the best player available, because no matter what they do at number 16, here's how it's going to go. Here's just how it's going to go. Media is going to say, what a great pick. This is awesome. This is amazing. Oh, my gosh, the Super Cardinals. They're going to do that. And the management's going to step up. We couldn't believe that he was there. You know, we had to hope that coming up at, you know, at 13, the Chargers would do something, or at 12, the Eagles would do something, passing our guy. And around 14, we thought, you know what, there might be a chance. This is how it goes. It's fun, but it's predictable on some fronts. No matter what they do, even if the guy's got two left feet, they're going to say he's the greatest thing ever. And how many times have we heard that we couldn't believe Robert Kendiche was there? We couldn't believe Josh Rosen was there. So I get a little fatigued with the overhype and the hope springs eternal and people on TV wearing their red ties or their red outfits and just cheerleading all day long about this stuff. It's not what we're supposed to do. And you're supposed to look at this objectively and say, you know, we'll see. But if you get Kyle Pitts, I'm not going to say, well, we'll see. It's, oh my gosh, barring injury, you know, he's going to be something. You know, I think the other interesting story around the draft, at least to me today, and there'll be plenty of this coming up, is Julio Jones' name is out there. Julio Jones, kind of like Fitz. You know, we're waiting for Fitz. Fitz came up for air over the weekend. He was at a charity event up in Paradise Valley, and he made some nice comments about the Valley's always going to be his home and all that stuff. But he didn't say, yeah, I'm going to play again this year, and we're just still kind of waiting. That's Larry. That's how Larry's going to play this out. Nobody should be surprised that this has gone into April, because he's going to do what he wants to do on his pace and his time. And he deserves that. I'm not saying the Cardinals should cut bait on him. I'm not saying that. But much like Luis Gonzalez, much like Steve Nash, good things do come to an end. So if he signs with Tampa Bay or somewhere else, I wouldn't be surprised. Me, now that we've gone this far into the offseason, kind of feels like, you know what, if I can get a TV gig, great. If I can't, I'll just go back to Arizona. Because we have not heard Steve Keim say, we're going to move on. We have not heard Michael Bidwell. Michael's really the guy that's got to say it on this one. You know, he really is. But I think the PR side of Larry will be, you know what, we went through all of our options and I just decided to go this direction. Whatever that direction may be. Would I like to see him back with the Cardinals? Only if he's going to be part of the offense in a major way. I'm not saying he's going to take away catches from DeAndre Hopkins, but look, I don't want to see an aging superstar that's just out there getting a ball or two just to say, hey, it's great to have Fitz out here. I don't think he'd want that. So it will be an interesting weekend for sure. The draft always has some drama and intrigue. And at 16, because Steve has shown the propensity to trade up, I wouldn't be surprised that he would do that. I would not. It's just you got to hit on these picks. You can't. He's had some great. I mean, we all go back to the David Johnson deal, and that led to DeAndre Hopkins because the Texans were stupid. They just were flat dumb. And that happens in pro sports. It's amazing the incompetence that I see in pro sports at times. And around the draft, you have the same sort of thing. One other note, and I should have mentioned this with the Suns, is Al McCoy turns 88 today. And he's still doing Suns games. And he still sounds great. And you talk about a treasure and an iconic figure in the Valley, and those terms get thrown around a ton. But here's Al, who the last 10 years had nothing but bad basketball to call. We had him on the show last week. I turned it into a podcast. It's up on the website if you want to check it out at sports360az.com. All right. I'm excited for our next guest, 13-year-old Cordell McLaren. He is the kid that caught the foul ball away from Cole Calhoun on Friday night in Atlanta, and he's zooming in from his school. We will have a 13-year-old ball catcher. Did a great job. Cordell McLaren, that is on the other side. Stay with us. All right, as promised, the story here in Arizona over the weekend was the catch. It was not the catch by Cole Calhoun. It was the catch by 13-year-old Cordell McLaren, who joins us via Zoom along with his dad, Brian. He is in school today. I'm just curious now, you've had about 48 hours since the catch, Cordell. How has your life changed since that play?
Well, I've been pretty famous, and I've got about 100 fist bumps.
About 100 fist bumps. Is that, what was school like today when you showed up?
Let's see, several people shouting, "Oh my word, you're famous." A couple people joking to see if I could get my autograph. And a bunch of my friends just being like, "Good catch."
Did you bring the ball with you to school today?
No, I was worried that it might get taken.
Some little swipe that bad boy, huh?
Yeah.
Dad, what's this been like for you, Brian, the last 48 hours? You were not at the games, but you've been able to observe your son. What's this been like?
Well, all of my TikTok, Instagram, Facebook has all blown up. Had several comments from people all over the nation. Commenting about it, and I think it shows a great opportunity. It's been wonderful to see the sportsmanship that Mr. Calhoun exhibited, and how he's tried to help bring more youth into the sport.
Were you watching the game Friday night, because you were not there, as I mentioned earlier? Were you watching?
No, I was not.
Okay, so when it happened, you didn't know. When did you first find out, and when you saw it for the first time, what was your reaction? Do you remember?
My wife texted me, and I got on and watched it, and I was very impressed with his catch, and I was overwhelmed by the reaction of Cole.
Yeah, I think all of us. Who taught you, Cordell, the catching mechanism there? Was it, you better say Dad, because he's right there next to you.
Well, it was actually most likely my cousin. We used to play baseball in his
front yard. And so he gave you the form, and I saw the interview with you Friday night that you were watching the play and you thought you may have a chance. Have you played it over in your mind more than a few times since it happened?
Yeah. I've thought, what would happen if I would have missed that? And what would happen if I had let Cole get it? But now, the way that it happened.
The interaction between you and Cole, have you heard from him since that play? And actually, let me just go back. The play itself, because there are people that didn't see it. What did he say to you? What was your exchange like?
At first, he went back over to right field and said, "You caught that one. Let me catch the next one." And then he came back over a couple times, and we just talked like casual friends, and thought that was actually very good sport of him. And yeah, that was it.
Yeah. Did you talk to him since that play? Have you heard from him since
I've talked to him on my ESPN interview.
Your ESPN interview, and that's been the exchange of it. How many of these types of interviews have you done? You've been on ESPN, now you're here in Arizona. How many of these have you done since the play?
I think I've done three, one in the stadium, and then my ESPN, and then now this one.
You're getting better with this, right? Well, I think you're pretty good to begin with. You were pretty good on Friday night for getting your big break in show business.
Yeah, I've been on TV a couple times.
There you go. Is this within the family, Brian? You know, your wife was there. Have you guys talked about this, just like the two of you saying, "I can't believe what just happened to our son"?
Yes, and usually the conversation goes around that he has no clue how big of an opportunity this is, that so many people have seen him, and he's been on TV and on the internet so much. I still don't think he's stuck in.
And you're a baseball fan, I've got to assume, there, Cordell, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And a Cole Calhoun fan for life?
Yeah.
Well, look, I'll let you get back to school. What class are you missing right now to do this interview?
I'm missing a little bit of ELA. We're just reading a fun novel right now.
Yeah, we'll get back to doing the novel. I don't want to take away from you. You've been great. You've been a good sport about all this. And congratulations on the moment. Anything else you want to add that maybe I haven't asked you?
Not really.
Good deal. Well, thank you. And Dad, thank you as well. There you go. Have a good day. Cordell McLaren and the Dad, Brian. And we're back with more after this timeout.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for this opportunity.